Welcome, dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... Canada. Today is the second day of Wiki World Warriors. No preamble at all this time. I'm stealing a few moments to podcast. My in-laws are visiting. They are babysitting my baby. My baby daughter is at the pool. She's having a brand new, one-of-a-kind life experience, which I'm missing, which means the apartment is quiet, so let's talk about some motherfucking Street Fighter. First of all, as always, we need to check in with the Street Fighter rulebook and see what it tells us about the nation in question. And the answer is, for Canada, not very much. Last episode, our first episode of the series, we talked about what the rulebook has to say about the USA, about how Big Bad Shadow Liu is running small mom-and-pop mafiosa out of town. There's basically nothing here distinctly about Canada. If you were to read this entry, you would think that the nation to the United States North is called And Canada. Street fighting is popular throughout the US and Canada. Both the USA and Canada are fervent supporters of international organizations such as Interpol. The leagues of the USA and Canada are old mafia families, etc., etc. And there are no specific arenas listed from Canada because there are no canonical Canadian World Warriors. Would that be a fine Gilbert and Sullivan lyric? Yes, it would, but it's also a sad state of affairs. And it's a state of affairs we're going to take on head-on right now. Today's World Warrior comes to us from Brad Morris, a Canadian listener, and also from Brad's wife, Sarah, who contributed to this. Hopefully it's okay to say Sarah's name. I guess I should send an email and check that out before I publicly associate anyone with the podcast. But in any case, I appreciate these two because they sent me the following character. Quote, Jacques Mousse is a Canadian scientist and engineer who worked on the Canadarm, the Canadarm being one of Canada's most notable contributions to space exploration, even appearing on the $5 bill. NASA canned the shuttle program in 2011 and retired the Canadarm in the process. Jacques quit the Canadian Space Agency that day to pursue his second love, Western-style kickboxing. He grafted a miniaturized Canadarm prototype to his left shoulder blade to give him an edge, helping with various grabs, strikes, and propelling his body toward his opponent, usually feet first. Jacques is a fit, middle-aged white guy. He has medium-length dark hair, usually tied into a ratty ponytail, with graying temples and a mustache. He wears a lab coat with the sleeves rolled up over a CSA ASC polo shirt tucked into a pair of loose-fitting khakis. He wears sensible shoes. I guessed that CSA there meant Canadian Space Agency. I did not know what ASC stood for. Turns out to be the French initials for Canadian Space Agency. I'm not going to attempt to speak any French on the show. You're welcome. To continue, quote, his biggest weaknesses are his lack of speed due to age, humble bragging about his intelligence on Twitter, and being too polite in the octagon or ring or street. That's the end of the description. There's also a sketch involved with this character, which I will post on the Instagram. So do go check that out. Make a Dumbcast on Instagram. So Brad and Sarah have given us a lot to work with here. I'm just going to get started right away on concept. Cybernetic scientist, I think is fair to say. When you've got a big mechanical arm sticking out of your back, that rises to the concept level. That's your most distinguishing feature. I imagine when he goes to the Canadian Space Agency reunions, he's the guy with the metal arm, not the guy with the ratty ponytail, for multiple reasons. If you've known any laid-back scientists or academics who are men of a certain age, you'll know that ratty ponytails are not exactly distinguishing features. We've also got a style for this character already, Western kickboxing, which if you're not familiar with it, it's the style that DJ from Street Fighter uses. It's Western to distinguish it from Thai kickboxing. So in the Street Fighter role-playing game, there are two kinds of kickboxing. There's Thai kickboxing, which we may have occasion to talk about in another episode in the miniseries, but suffice it to say for now that as we learned from Ninjas and Super Spies, lo those many episodes ago, back in season one of MDC, if you know that style, you're king shit of everything, you're kicking the hell out of people's shins, destroying lives, damaging property, no one can stop you, you're untouchable, Thai kickboxing is the king of everything, the deadliest of all fighting styles. Western kickboxing, not to put too fine a point on it, it is boxing plus legs, and it is for people from the American continent, and mostly black people. That is the strong impression we are given by the core book. I mean, it doesn't exactly say it, but here are some excerpts. Quote, Most good Western kickboxers start their careers as amateur boxers. Quote, the Jamaican-born fighter DJ has both amazed and entertained the world by adding his own kind of magic to this sport. Quote, the schools found in Philadelphia, New York, and Washington, D.C. are usually the best because of the city's deep boxing background. Quote, most of the best fighters are kids off the street who have something to prove. Under sample concepts, we find, quote, street tough, gang member, boxer, athlete. The sample quote from a Western kickboxer is, quote, I've been fighting all my life to get off the streets, and kickboxing showed me how. I owe it my life. Dangerous minds, etc., etc. So, it doesn't say that Western kickboxing is dominated by black people, but, you know, it's very urban, quote-unquote. Certainly, there was a character archetype in mind that goes beyond just being a boxer. Our man Jacques Mousse here, though, does not fit the stereotype or archetype that the RPG has in mind. He is a white, be-ponytailed man from Canada. And nonetheless, he is a Western kickboxer, which I think is very appropriate. Western kickboxing seems like the kind of thing that a sort of like hip older man who works in a STEM field would be into. So I'm into this selection, and I enjoy the opportunity to take that style beyond the like heart of gold street tough who needs guidance to make something of his life and like escape the slums. Like I'm very happy not to be doing that with this style. And we have a name, Jacques Mousse. So we're moving beyond the basics now onto attributes. And this is where we're going to flash forward a little bit. As I mentioned last time, everybody who created a world warrior picked one of the goofiest elements of Street Fighter character creation to sort of show off with their character. And in this case, that goofy element is cybernetics. Yes, this game has a cybernetics background, just in case you want to play a character who, rather than being a master of karate or a spiritually enlightened monk, you want to play RoboCop, right? It seems a bit of an odd option for this game, but it is there, and it is an easily exploitable option. This is the first one we're going to talk about from the Street Fighter Player's Guide. This is not from the core book. The Player's Guide, allegedly, this may be apocryphal, but allegedly, the Street Fighter Player's Guide was turned around in like 30 days. It was an extremely abbreviated production. None of this shit apparently was playtested, and I can believe it, because some of the worst things, worst slash best, in the Street Fighter role-playing game are from the Player's Guide. And cybernetics is one of them. It's a background that you take, and as we're going to see later, it is bananas. For now, the thing to know, though, is that it subtracts one dot from the character's available social attributes and adds one to either physical or mental attributes. In this case, because we're dealing with a scientist, I'm going to go the suboptimal route and put that extra dot in mental attributes. I'm going to still make physical primary. This is a fighter, after all. I'm going to make social tertiary, which means I'm only going to get 2 points to spend, because being cybernetic, I'm dropping down from the usual 3 points to a lot. And then mental is going to be secondary at 5 dots, but I'm going to increase it to 6 dots because of the cybernetics. Nothing more thrilling than doing dot math on the podcast. Anyway, quick reminder, if you want to see where all these dots land, you can go to the Instagram, as I mentioned before. Just some highlights. For physical, I'm bringing strength and stamina both up to 4 and keeping dex at 2, because per Brad's order for the character, I want him to be a little bit on the slower side. He's an older guy, but he's very tough. For social, I'm just going to put 1 each in manipulation and appearance. Average looking, average ability to manipulate people, but only a charisma of 1. Excessive politeness coupled with excessive bragging. A bit of a strange duck. Kind of a nerd, and not like a cool nerd, like one of those voice actors or minor celebrities who do D&D campaigns on Twitch and everybody loves them and they're super beautiful. Not one of those nerds. I'm talking about like a nerd who corrects your grammar and tells overlong stories about conversations they had on a BBS once. That kind of nerd. So charisma 1. It's generous, frankly. Then for mental, we get 6 dots. Just for a quirk, I'm going to put 3 of those dots in intelligence and 3 in wits. So I've got 4 intelligence and 4 wits. Somebody who's quick thinking, quick to act, canny in certain ways, also very bright, but perception only 1. He's got the glasses, he's maybe a little bit absent-minded, a little bit maybe over-focused, really good at solving the problem at hand, probably good at doing a Rubik's Cube, but you could definitely steal his wallet while he was working that Rubik's Cube. For abilities, for this as well, we get some cybernetics weirdness. For whatever reason, all cyborgs get some free dots and stuff. They all get 1 dot of interrogation, 2 dots of intimidation. All cyborgs also get a dot of computer and a dot of medicine. The interrogation and intimidation, I could take or leave for this character, but the computer and medicine are definitely handy, since unlike a lot of cyborgs, this guy actually had a part in creating this cyborg limb and attaching it to himself. As we know from genre fiction down through the ages, and especially from role-playing games, both Ninjas and Super Spies and Heroes Unlimited, lots of people with cybernetic limbs had no technical role in creating those limbs or attaching them. Many of those people brought very little to the process other than a willingness to cut off their own arms in the service of scientific discovery or a paycheck or whatever. And it's weird that if you made a Street Fighter who, say, was in a horrific rowing accident, lost both his arms, and had to get cybernetic replacements, that they would necessarily have computer knowledge. I think medicine is reasonable. If you've got prosthetics, even super prosthetics, you're going to want to know a little bit about how they function and, you know, what to look out for. But anyway, this works perfectly for our purposes. So that's all the stuff we get for free. And then we get some limitations. Can't have more than 2 dots of Streetwise or Investigation to start. Looking at which of these other abilities I like and want to buy with the character's actual dots, surprisingly, I think I want more skills than I do knowledges. But the skills I want at relatively low level, so I'm going to go ahead and make knowledge primary. I don't really see any talents here I want, so that's tertiary, and that leaves skills in the middle. The knowledges are a little all over the place. I figured this is somebody who would have an intellectual approach to street fighting, would really get into it as like a hobby and a challenge, a mental challenge. And so he's got dots of arena so that he knows all the different venues. He's got a dot of style lore. He's done at least a little bit of investigation of other martial arts styles and knows what to prep for. I think this is somebody who treats street fighting as like full contact fantasy football and gets into like doing the research on the stats and, you know, figuring out who's, you know, the promising up-and-comer and what's a good match to take to kind of raise his profile. But then for his professional skills, I've got him with computer 4, which he can take at this stage because of that bonus dot for cybernetics. 1 dot of investigation, again, just for kind of looking into things. And then 3 dots of medicine, enough to graft an arm onto yourself in the over-the-top world of Street Fighter. Disclaimer, I advise you to have a full MD to your name if you're going to graft a metal arm onto yourself. But in the world of Street Fighter, like, you're a paramedic, you got a long weekend, go ahead, put an arm on there. Who cares? Skills are pretty prosaic. Couple dots of drive, enough to drive a stick. Couple dots of leadership, can lead a team when you're working for the space agency. Couple dots of security, because I figure if you're going to steal a prototype of the Canadarm, even from your own workplace, couple dots of security would serve you well. And 1 dot of stealth, again, for stealing the arm. As I mentioned, I don't really see anything that I want in talents. I'll put 1 in subterfuge, just because, you know, all player characters lie, so why not? I'll do 1 in insight. General purpose, know about things. Streetwise, 1, sure, this person lives in a city. And then alertness, 1. I know I established this character as kind of a absent-minded professor type, but I don't know where else to put this dot, and that's that. Now we get to backgrounds, and this is where the cybernetics are really going to come into play. So with cybernetics, the way it works is, for every dot of cybernetics, you have a cybernetic part, but the parts sometimes come in pairs. So like, 1 dot is enough to have cyber arms, or cyber legs, or a cyber torso. Or once you've got the cyber torso, then you can put on additional pairs of cyber limbs. So the concept Brad's given me didn't really mention a cyber torso, but it does say that the arm is grafted on. So I'm going to say for mechanical purposes, yeah, Jacques's got a cyber torso. Even though it may have a lot of flesh parts still, it's all interwoven with cyber stuff to support the arm. The additional dot, because I'm going to do 2 dots of cybernetics, by the rules, that gives me 2 extra arms for this character, but I don't want 2 extra arms. It's more stylish just to have 1. And that's the concept Brad gave me, and it's my sacred duty to carry it out. I'm torn, though, because one of the cheesiest things, although not the very cheesiest thing, one of the cheesiest things about cyber limbs is that you can artificially increase your punching and grabbing or your kicking ability by just giving yourself more arms or legs. Like, let's say you want to master the lightning leg, like Chun-Li, but you don't want to waste a lot of your life learning kicking technique. I mean, who needs to kick that fast, right? You got a life to live. You got bills to pay. You've got crushing cyber debt. So rather than moving your legs that fast, why not have more legs? Why not kick smarter, not harder, and just get yourself 2-4 extra legs? And that actually works. The extra legs count toward your effective kick technique in order to pick up moves like lightning leg that require a lot of kicking skill. The same is true of punches and grabs when you've got extra arms. However, you get 1 extra effective dot per pair of extra limbs. Rules as written, there's no technical way to get just 1 extra limb. But I figure that's flavor, right? I mean, you're only giving up utility by paying for 2 arms and only taking 1. So I'm going to go ahead and give the full benefits of that extra pair of arms I'm buying for just the 1 arm. So cybernetics 2, that buys me a cyber torso, and house rule, just 1 extra arm. That does leave me with 3 extra points of backgrounds. I don't see this guy as particularly well connected, nor do I think that he's got a manager, which is one of the things you can get with background points in this game, because while he takes this seriously, I feel like, as Brad wrote, it's a passion, right? Western kickboxing is a passion for him. He's doing this for love, not money. And part of what he loves about it is working out all the logistics, you know, making the flights connect together, scoping out this new town, researching new fighters. That's stuff that a manager does, but it's part of why he enjoys doing this. So no manager, I'm just going to take resources at three. And what resources three means is that you own a house and you can spend about $3,000 in 90s bucks per month and still keep your substantial savings intact, pay the mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. So we got a guy here who, you know, he had a job at the Canadian Space Agency. He's a rocket scientist or something. He's no slouch. And I figure he's, you know, living off his nest egg at this point, maybe having kind of a late midlife crisis, getting into this street fighting thing. And he's living off the savings right now. So resources three is about enough for that. Next up is techniques. This is where I decide, you know, kicks, punches, grabs, etc. This is where that extra pair of arms helps me because I get an extra effective dot of punch and grab for having the extra arm, which allows me to really invest in kick because I can kind of like coast on the bonus to punch and grab from the extra arm for those. I'm going to go ahead and put one each in punch and grab, one in block because you got to have one in block. I'm going to max out kick for this stage. As high as I can go is three. So that's a full one, two, three. That leaves two. I'm going to go ahead and put those in athletics. Brad's outline for this character mentioned some like launching forward, you know, springing around, that kind of stuff. And I think athletics too will serve the character well on that. Give him some good mobility. I'm not putting any in focus, which is the technique you use for like chi powers, fireballs and stuff. Partly that's because that isn't really what this character does. Partly it's because of the very cheesiest thing about cybernetics, which is that you can use your rating in the cybernetics background instead of your focus. It may not be immediately apparent how cheesy this is, but like techniques are very expensive. They're core to your whole thing. Like if you're familiar with other World of Darkness games, they are like the disciplines in Vampire, or they are like the gifts in Werewolf. They're your whole deal. They're what makes you a street fighter. You're a really good kicker or puncher or grabber or something. And one of those things is you're really good at combat yoga or mystic kung fu secrets or whatever bullshit allows you to throw your fireballs and do your teleporting. They're big, expensive central features of the character. Whereas backgrounds in World of Darkness games are totally a dime a dozen. They're much cheaper. One dot of allies is like, you've got one friend. Two dots is, hey, you've got two friends. Or five dots of cybernetics is, you can shoot fireballs on a level with the most enlightened of all the fireball masters of the East. It kind of makes sense because what it means is that your device just simulates these effects, right? Rather than doing it the hard way, if you think about it, I mean, it's hard to be enlightened enough to shoot fire out of your mouth. It's much easier, you know, relatively speaking, to just have a metal mouth with a flamethrower in it. And the rules do bear that out. It's not good for game balance, but it's as realistic as fire breath can be. This is the easy way. So if I want focus abilities in the future, I'm not going to get them by taking this focus ability and having all this mental and spiritual discipline. Who needs that? I'm a scientist. I'm going to build up my cybernetics and I'm going to use them to get any, you know, fireballs or ice blasts or whatever that I decide to go in for. I'll just build them right into the cannon arm, weaponize this thing. So no dots in focus now, no dots in focus ever. I'm out of the enlightenment game. I'm all in on cyborg arm. With techniques done, I can now choose special maneuvers for the character. In this case, Brad gave me a specific combat move that I need to have. One where the character springs forward, like propelled by the cannon arm and jumps at somebody feet first. So I know I need to build to that. There is a Western kickboxing move called the stepping front kick that does pretty much that. So I'm definitely going to take that move. And that move requires me to take the double hit kick, which is one of those piddly little 1 point moves that you have to take before you can take the cool move. And stepping front kick also requires kick four, which means I got to make a note to go back later and buy a fourth dot of kick with my freebie points. This is one of the weaknesses of this system, is that you got to do everything kind of out of order because there are prerequisites you got to meet, but you can't meet them until a later stage in the character's creation. So you kind of got to Bill and Ted your way through character creation where it's like, and then future Chris will come back and buy an extra dot of kick so I can take this fucking move. Thanks, future Chris. So that stepping front kick is the big one, kind of the big signature move for this character to start, I think. By the way, I'm going to level these characters up to World Warrior level as well. World Warriors have way more points to spend than these piddly beginning Street Fighters. But since I kind of want to take you through character creation, we're going to do that first for all these characters. And then on my own time, away from the mic, I will furiously reverse engineer the point values of the canonical World Warriors and then reapply those XP points to... It sounds sad when I say it now, but believe me, I'm going to have a lot of fun. Like compared to real life, it's going to be a blast. Anyway, for Jacques, to finish Jacques off, I'm going to add one more move, the brain cracker, which is a move where you like grab somebody and pull their head down and then punch their head while you're holding their head. That's number one, a Western kickboxing move. Number two, it's a sustained hold. You can hold it over multiple rounds and they might not be able to get out and free themselves. And it meets the order that Brad gave me because he mentioned that Jacques likes to use his extra arm, the cannon arm, to assist with grabs and strikes. So I like the idea that Jacques just grabs somebody in a full-on clinch and then just like punches them directly on the top of the head with the cannon arm repeatedly. So that's cool. Doesn't seem exactly fair, but you know, this is freestyle street fighting. There are different divisions of street fighting. You do the traditional style if you want to do, you know, pure kung fu, your precious pure kung fu. Freestyle, anything goes. This is like BattleBots as Bloodsport, and you can graft any old shit onto your body and use it to beat other people up in freestyle street fighting. Nobody gives a fuck. And freestyle isn't even the most weird and vicious of the divisions. More on that in a future episode. I'm going to finish up Jacques' special maneuvers with a combo. In this game, you can string multiple moves together in a combo. You buy these combos from the same pool that you use to buy extra moves. So instead of buying another move for Jacques, I can buy a combo that strings his moves together. That may sound like it's not a great deal, but just listen, since we're talking about Western kickboxing anyway, to the wise words of DJ, the Jamaican street fighter, from page 132 of the Street Fighter Core Book. And I refuse to do an accent here, so this will just be my regular voice so as not to offend listeners. Quote, "Look, Mon, if you want to make it on the Street Fighter circuit, you're going to have to do more than just punch or kick. Even that jammin' special move you got there won't finish off the bad boys like Zangief. Yeah, Mon, I know what I'm talking about. It's like music. You don't go singing one note and call it music. You gotta put the beat together, one note after another. Then you're jamming. It's the same with fighting. You gotta put the moves together if you want to be chief." So I think now you can appreciate the value of combos. To put it in layman's terms, if you're not an advanced street fighter like DJ, combos do two things. Number one, after the first move, the second move gets a +2 bonus, which Jacques can definitely use because he's definitely lost a step. He's an older guy. So with the combo, once you get past the first move, the speeds go up. Secondly, you can make a combo a dizzy combo, which is where in this game, if you inflict a certain amount of damage with one attack, it dizzies your opponent. They lose an action basically, and you get a free turn. With a dizzy combo, all the damage you do throughout the combo stacks up to determine whether the opponent is dizzied. I'm going to use two common tricks for combos here to improve Jacques' chances in a fight. Number one, I'm going to give him a block to stepping front kick combo. The reason is that blocking adds +2 to the speed of your next attack anyway. So if you start a combo with block, then the next move gets a +4 speed. So that gets Jacques up to a respectable speed for his stepping front kick if he does it right off a block. Secondly, stepping front kick hits twice. And so I only have to pay for a combo of two moves here, block and then stepping front kick, which only has one move in it, like one attack maneuver, but that maneuver hits twice and I can stack those for the dizzy. This is all very technical, I understand. But what it boils down to, and I kind of like this effect, is that Jacques is going to be sort of like a punch-out antagonist where he definitely has like a pattern and a trick that you would need to know to do well against him. You could run afoul of this combo if you don't know his fighting style. That takes care of special maneuvers. Now we're on to Renown. You'll remember that these are Honor and Glory. You split between the two. And cybernetic Street Fighters start with -2 Honor. Like many other role-playing games of the 90s, Street Fighter feels the need to personally insult people who need prosthetics. In this case, it's not so bad because Jacques isn't disabled. He's just got an extra arm for shits and giggles. And is that maybe not the most honorable way to make a splash in underground fighting, to give yourself a third unfair arm? Maybe it isn't. However, I know from Brad's order that Jacques is a very polite individual, so I feel the need to get out of the hole on honor. So I'm going to put all three of my renown points in honor, which raises me up out of the negatives into honor 1. That does mean that Jacques has no glory, which means as a starting street fighter, nobody cares or knows about him, which actually serves him well because, as I mentioned, he kind of has a trick. He kind of has a gimmick. Chi and willpower totals come straight from Western kickboxing. Jacques got some freebie points to spend, and as I've mentioned, some of those are spoken for. I'm going to do the math off mic, etc., etc. You don't care about all that bullshit. What you care about is flavor. First of all, we've got to define Jacques' appearance. Brad gave me that. The lab coat with the sleeves rolled up, the khakis, the sensible shoes, the ponytail, the graying temples. Oh, and BTW, giant metal, nationally affiliated arm on his back. If he had any particular equipment, I would put that down here. I don't feel the need to define any for this character. We do need a signature. usually a victory pose for each of these characters so that when they win a street fight, they have like a short animation that they go through. And we know that Jacques is polite to a fault, so I think his signature is going to be to extend an arm to help his opponent up while he waves to the crowd with his cannon arm. No doubt this will at some point result in him being sucker punched by some evil Shadaloo street fighter, which will begin a feud that will raise both characters' profiles. We all watch pro wrestling, I assume. We understand how this works. So that takes care of Jacques Moose. I'm pretty happy with this character. Thanks once again to Brad and Sarah for helping me out with this week's World Warrior. All that remains is to hear what they think about whether I did justice to Jacques Moose. In response to this episode, Brad writes, quote, "Great episode. Looking forward to the whole series. I would have given you an A+ if you had butchered Agence Spéciale Canadienne, like a true Canadian Anglophone. I hope you enjoyed that, Brad." So, an A it is. Keep in mind that this is coming from someone who's never played a White Wolf game or had to do any sort of pip math. Hey, I'm doing it so you don't have to, buddy. Hashtag pip math. It's what this miniseries is about. I hope that I've won your favor and probably lost some favor with my French listeners with that pronunciation. But yeah, an A, not too bad. Not a bad way to start off the series. Join me next time as we discuss a new challenger on MDC's Wiki World Warriors. Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Sawsquare Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.